So I'm going to record this, call it the daily grind. The reason it's called the daily grind is because it grinds out the old bad habits. The grinding wheel, the cogs of time, grinding out the fluff, the unnecessary, the bad habits, the bad thoughts, the negativity, the dark, moving you towards the light. Somebody made a comment a few days ago, and I just responded today. She said, "I'm not mean, but I feel like the truth needs to be kind of mean, because when you spend a lot of time." I mean, it's not mean. The truth is really love, but it needs to cut the flesh. When you spend a lot of years rightly dividing the word of truth, and it just flows out of you, even though you're speaking it, you still get convicted. When you know the truth, when you crack open the Bible and read it, you get convicted. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Other saints convict you. Life convicts you. Your boss convicts you. When you're speaking truth, because you've rightly divided the truth, it convicts you. Everything convicts you down here, and it's part of the grind. The daily simulated grind is a convicting thing. It's a convicting part of the process. God uses the repeat simulation as part of the sanctification. Yes, the Word of God sanctifies and cleanses us, but everything in front of you is the Word. Everything in front of you is a derivative of the Word. You're actually in the Word. I had to ask myself, why does the simulation, why does the codex, the code, reveal that the daily turning, the daily grind, why does that convict you of sin, and why does that change you? If the Bible says the Word of God is what sanctifies you and changes you. Well, the answer is the Word of God is 5D, 2D, 3D. It's everywhere. So everything that you deal with every day of your life, especially if you have authority over you, which everybody does, is to change you. So actually, when you're a child, your parents, they might not be perfect. They might even be lost. They might even be evil. But what they do, though, helps you. The authority, they keep you. Johnny, don't run in the street. Susie, don't play in the street. Don't go over there. Part of the process to change you, convict you, shift you, move you to a new state. The spankings, the scourgings is part of the process of God sanctifying you when you're a child, right? We know that the Word of God convicts, but the daily routine of life also convicts. So when you speak the truth, when you practice the truth, when you meditate on the truth, when you walk it out, it's a convicting process, because you'll say, man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Why did I make that same mistake again? Why did I fall into that trap? Why did that happen? And then you have to go through the repeat again and again and then again until you get it right. So what I'm saying is, I'm walking around the block. What I'm saying is, Jesus spoke it all into existence. Everything is off-river, derives from the Word. Everything is a Word because Jesus' Logos Word is the source. And so everything in front of you is a word, is a shape, is a symbol, has a deeper meaning, has a a type. Just like a typewriter, you type it on a piece of paper, but each letter has a meaning. So it's a type and a shadow. So each object is a derivative from the word, and it's a meaning. It has a deeper meaning. And so as you go about your daily routine, your daily grind, or whatever you want to call it, it's part of the sanctification process, because if you really think about it, there's nothing new under the sun. And as you go about your day, you see cars or horses or bicycles or scooters or motorcycles or any kind of transportation, which points back to you walking, because you're a transport. You're a portal. A transportation device is nothing more than a portal to move you to the next state a little bit faster. But every time you take a step, your legs are crossing each other, front to back, front to back, front to back. They're crossing. So every time you take a step, you're crossing a portal. You're moving to your new state. So this simulated repeat training program is a derivative of the word. You're a character in the word. That's why you're a character. And so you're a character in the 3D word, and your character is being changed. And if you look at the suffixes and the prefixes, a lot of times you'll just Google, what is ing, what is ed, what is er, what is est. These are word forming elements on the end of a word. Word forming elements. And if you take each suffix and you decode it, you'll see ing is ng, N7, in Golgotha. ED goes back to Holy Spirit. EST means established. And so every suffix has a deeper meaning. It's all the suffixes on the right point to your stability in Christ. All the prefixes on the left of a word are like foreshadows or precogs, like protein or prefigure or pre or pro, or the prefixes always are foreshadows, and the suffixes are your state, a word of your state of being in the future, word forming elements. Like if I say I am riding my bike, ing, I am going to the store. We promoted this product. The prefix shows you the beginning, but it shows you that you're going towards something. The suffix means that you have completed, or you're moving towards that completion. ING, or ING is N7, number 7. It is finished. You're gifted. ED is Holy Spirit, spiritual door. It's finished. You're gifted. You have a gift, and you're gifted. You've been lifted up. Lift me up. Okay, you're lifted up. It's finished. The Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Back to what I was saying. Oh. Everything is a word-forming element. So everything is a sanctification process. And so as you're being sanctified through the word, through actions, through practice, through speaking, through interaction with people, face-to-face interaction, authority figure over you, you're convicted of sin, and you mess up, but you go through it again and again and again. And so when you get married, it's the same thing. It's a process of your spouse is the closest person to you. So you wake up every day and they know you better than you know yourself, but you learn to love them even in their insanity, because everybody has the flesh mind, which is insanity. If you can love your spouse in their stupid insanity, because you have stupid insanity, you figured out what marriage is about. Marriage is really a ministry, because everybody's got stupid stuff they have to overcome because of their childhood, because of their culture, because of the flesh mind, because of Adam and Eve. And Adam all died. So the AI robot, the AI flesh mind, is nothing but ridiculous, insane stupidity. So you're learning to walk in agape love and not selfish love. You're learning to put other people before yourself, but you still have to love yourself before you can love somebody else, because a lot of people beat themselves up. They hate themselves. The reason they hate others is because they hate themselves. Deep down. So when you learn to love your spouse in the midst of their stupidity, you know that they need to learn to love you in the midst of your stupidity. And so the whole process is a simulation to go through it again and again. And it's actually to teach you truth and love. It's actually to teach you to be like Jesus, because he went to the cross. And so we have to sacrifice for people. We have to endure hardship down here and the pain and the offenses. The Bible says offenses will come. So you have to endure the pain and the heartache, the offenses and the life in general. So back to my point, to the question and the answer. So even if you know the word, you have to speak. When you know the word, you have to speak truth when it comes out, when it flows out of your mouth. When the discourse from the Holy Spirit flows out of your mouth, you have to line it up with the word. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there. And so as you're speaking, you actually convict yourself. As you're going about your day, you convict yourself. You know what's right and wrong inside. You got the Holy Spirit, so you already know. So let's say you see somebody doing something stupid. You say, quit doing that. You know that ain't right. And then you get convicted because you did it too. And if you didn't do that, you did something else. Because as soon as you point one finger, you got three pointing back, you know. But does that mean we don't speak up and tell the truth? No, that's another psyop the devil will play on you. Well, I'm a sinner. I can't speak the truth. I messed up. I got things I got to work on. Yeah, you need to be set apart, but you're still here for a reason. And if you look at all the characters in the Bible, and you're a character in the Bible for today, they were a character in the Bible back then. It was a 3D Bible back then, but it was written down for your admonition on 2D. So your 2D Bible, it's just written to remind you're in a 3D version of it. Anyway, going up this strong hill, steep hill. So that 3D experience that you're interacting with people is to teach you love and truth, but it's also to show you that the Holy Spirit in you is the truth. Yeah, you mess up, but you know the truth because of Christ in you. So that in itself tells you that it's faith alone, and it tells you that only Jesus alone, and it tells you that it's the power of the Spirit, not the power of the flesh. The power of the Spirit, not the energy of the flesh. So when the pastor's up there speaking truth, yeah, he messes up. He's not perfect. He might even go into legalism, and don't even know it. But hopefully he'll get convicted one day that he's a legalist. Long story short, everything points back to the fact that it's the Spirit of truth that abides in you, that sanctifies you, and the Spirit of truth is encoded all around you in 3D. Because just like there's a 3D book, there's a 5D book, And there's a 2D book. You're judged by the book. And every day that you walk down here, you're judging yourself. The Bible says that, to judge yourself, lest you be judged. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, it's best to go ahead and accept it, admit it, and move on. And especially if you're speaking it out of your mouth, you know what's right, you know what's wrong. And if you can't stop, whatever it is, pray to God. Say, Lord, I can't stop. I need your help. And that's when he shows up on the scene. Because you can't do it in your own power. Hope I don't get run over on this main street. It's good to walk and ride the bicycle, I think. Because you're creating a different motion, you know. Different muscles are being used. I can actually feel it in my chest more by walking than when I was riding the bike. That's weird. Might be just because I just ate or something. So my point is, as we're characters in this 3D simulated program, based on the word that was settled in heaven, each day is a sanctification process. And when you speak the truth to yourself or to anybody else, not only would they probably get convicted, but you should be convicted. You should be reinforcing the truth in your character, in your soul, spirit, mind, body. One example would be this walking around the neighborhood, walking it out. So as I'm walking, I'm building muscles. My heart's beating more. Instead of just laying in the bed another hour, I said, let me just go walk. But it's a hard habit to change when you're not used to it. Especially when you walk all day at work, just like, but it's a different kind of walk. This is more of like a, you're not carrying tools around or anything weighted down. This is more like a rebalance in your back and your spine, you know. Because when you walk, I think what happens is it rebalances your spine. And it actually does some correcting on its own. Because you got the left and the right symmetry, right? So it's part of the balancing act. Keeping a balance. And since I've been walking, I've seen two or three people just walking. I'm in shock. I didn't know that many people walked. When you walk, it's slower instead of driving a car and you see more people. And I've only just walked around a few blocks. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 blocks or something like that. 7 or 8 blocks. Whew. The daily grind is to grind out the old flesh mind. But you need the word of truth, the word of God, the absolute truth, to cut in the spirit mind. So the flesh mind is being cut out, but the spirit mind is being cut in at the same time. Ain't that a miracle? That your old Adam is being cut out and your new Adam is being renewed day by day. As you renew your mind, you're being changed to the new Adam each moment by moment, but the old Adam is being cut out at the same time. And it goes back to Ephesians 4, put off the old clothing and put on the new clothing. It's really amazing, to be honest with you. It's really bizarre land. Being changed in the inner man, and then it affects your outward. I am 100% sure of this. I can't prove it to you, but I believe it. As you renew your inner man, your health gets better. I am 100% sure of that. Not 99%, but 100% sure of it. Because as you renew the mind, you renew the spirit. As you renew the spirit, what happens? The spirit of the man sustains the man. As you renew the spirit, the light comes on in your heart, your mind, your eyes, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and it has to affect your body. Because if stress can make you sick, reversing stress and thinking right and doing right and living a stress-free life by exercise, and not too much exercise, but you know what I'm talking about, then it has to affect your health in the opposite way. If stress can kill you, then maintaining a stress-free mind can heal you. It's got to work that way. If it works in one direction, it has to work in the other direction. That's what engineers teach. That's why you can get information from a system, because the system's always putting out data, and you can receive that information and reverse engineer.